got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me.
Well, hopefully we got everybody here. Welcome to the Community Living Show on the National Campus Radio Networks, NCRA Radio Networks. We are broadcasting, hopefully, throughout Canada and mostly in British Columbia on the on disabilities issues. Yeah. And, of course, we are on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. I'm back. I just got back from vacation.
Yay, Kelly's back.
And Michael's here. How are you? How's everybody doing in the past few weeks?
Well, actually, everything went pretty well. You know, I had some fun with both stations, CITR and CFRO. Mm-hmm. Especially over the last weekend, they had the vinyl record sale at the Heritage Hall.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, I was there helping. It was a joint venture booth between CITR,
right,
CFRO, and CJFS. It's always hard to say.
CJSF.
Yes.
That's Simon Fraser.
Yes.
Yes.
And we had a lot of fun, and we sold a bunch of records, and I have no clue how much money was actually raised, but I know, though myself, I sold like a few hundred dollars worth of records from out of the booth.
Mm. We're hoping CJSF can have our show on the NCRA Radio Networks for the half hour part of the show. And
we now have contact information with their PR person, so
good to know.
So let's see what we can make happen with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of people showed up. In the giving spirit, as well as in the spirit of finding those rare, hard to find vinyl albums, and surprising, MP3 hasn't completely wiped out vinyl. There's still a lot of people out there that want vinyl. They want to listen to that little bit of crack and everything that goes along with the richness of listening off a vinyl record. Mm. Yes, I am a fan of vinyl records.
Of course.
Yeah. So. So how did your trip go?
I went well. Of course, my mom's involved with Sailing with Scissors. She does a little project with the whole group. Mm-hmm. They're based in Granville Island. They mostly what they do is create cards, you know, like gift cards and stuff like that. So she does a lot of design stuff, mm-hmm. as you might want to figure out what they do. And then, you know, any type of creativity. It's like your imagination, trying to do your imagination to, you know, like I said, creating like some gift cards or some sort of banner or poster or something.
Right.
Anything that will try and maybe give it to you as a friend or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of a creativity. People can make flat, well, of course. On the ship, I didn't know how to really make a flower or some sort of make a flower with little papers, you see.
Right.
And somehow, when I was over on the ship, he gives you some directions of how to make an actual perfect flower out of papers, you know, kind of like a 3D type of situation.
Nice.
So that was part of the fun. And I mean, she did mostly a lot of stuff that she did while I cruised around the ship for a while. Sadly, I didn't got a chance. I mean, there are some chances that they do have comedian stand-up comic people there, but I didn't got a chance. The ship didn't get a chance to have that, but I mean, the ship was okay. I mean, Star Princess, one of the Princess cruises, was pretty good, and they had their routines how to create. Well, of course, their general emergency evacuations and stuff, so that everybody was all prepared for everything in case and if there was an emergency. So,
yeah.
First, we went over to Los Angeles and got a chance to see some very good, we wanted to get a chance to see the stars, the Hollywood stars,
mm-hmm.
you know.
The Walk of Fame
ones. Walk of Fame ones.
Yeah.
They were very interesting. And, of course, the Chinese Theater is one of the tour trips. And of course, actually, there is actually a motion picture theater there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to say, for example, Star Wars Episode 7 was around and you wanted to go really see it debuted on the first time, you actually go and see it through Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, there you go. And then, where else did I go? Catalina Island. Of course, both both my mother and I are both daredevils to do our zip lining. And we got a chance to do zip lining through the mountains to where the ocean is, where the beach is, and everything. It was just really perfect. It was pretty much similar to what Whistler Mountain is with their zip line.
Oh, yeah.
So pretty much similar, but only it's more spectacular. You get a chance to see the view of everything. So, and then so that was the next trip stopover. The next trip was Santa Barbara. Now, Santa Barbara was very interesting.
I've never been to Santa Barbara.
But so. a lot of history there.
Yeah.
Very spectacular. And, of course, it's supposed to be the wine country there as well. We didn't get a chance to do the wine tour. We did go for a tour of the history of the city. There is a... You know the law courts that we have in Vancouver. Their law courts has a big... Well, it's ancient. It's ancient history. Mostly it's a lot of Spanish settlements settling there. And there's a big tower, big clock tower. And you get a chance to go and see it as a tour. And you get a chance to see, go over to the top. Best thing is, it has equipped with an elevator. So anybody who's in a wheelchair can go over to the top of the tower.
Nice.
Yes. That's the best part.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that in for our listeners. If you want to try and get over to Santa Barbara, if you're having difficulty with stairs and stuff, there is an elevator that will go upstairs to the tower, and it's very impressive there. And then our last stop was to San Francisco. Very interesting to see the Alcatraz Island there, and the history of the jail cells and
yeah, I've heard a number of ghost stories from people that visited Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm. One thing to note that there was one person was there during the day who was signing autographs for the book that he had written. And it tells about the whole history. Of course, my mom has the book. And so the book was very... I mean, she could say about the book. I mean, the Arthur was there and signing autographs, and so I took some photos of the Arthur and everything. So Alcatraz was interesting. The baseball game was San Francisco Giants. I mean, we had to stay there overnight.
Oh, you got to see a ball game. That's
awesome. Yeah, so it was fun. Got a chance to see that. And, of course, that's my first time I ever got a chance to see the National League. A lot of times I go to the American League and see the Seattle Mariners. That's the thing.
Right there, because they're right down the street, basically.
Yeah, right down the street. And, of course, where we live, San Francisco Giants is the National League game. That's right. We got a chance to see it. Of course, they won 5-4, I think. I believe it was a pretty close game, but it was a very good game, and the stadium where you've probably heard of the history of Candlestick Park and the earthquake of 1989.
I remember the earthquake of 1989. Yes.
Okay, tell me about that before you.
they were actually.
Were you actually at San Francisco?
No, I wasn't in San Francisco, but I happened to be catching a game that was being played in San Francisco, and the cameras and everything just shook.
Yeah, of course. Well, my dad and I watched the game as well, so it was pretty much similar to that. And actually, the player was going over to the first and second when the player was on second, everything was all static and like, and I was like, "What the heck's going on?" And then all of a sudden, they were saying, "Oh no, there's an earthquake!" So,
it was like stuff jumping.
After that was really very tragic, and it was interesting to note that after the earthquake, the link to San Francisco to Oakland, there are two bridges that connect to Oakland. One bridge is the Long Bay Bridge, That's still there. The suspension bridge is still there. So they've got the two decks there, the suspension bridge. The northern or the eastern part of where Oakland is to the island to the Oakland, that is replaced with a new bridge because of that.
There was one bridge that was pretty well tore apart by that earthquake.
Well, yeah, because the deck where right above it collapsed.
Yeah.
And luckily one car, it could have been worse, but I mean, one car was just almost to the edge of where the ramp was down below it. So the city officials decided to say, "We're going to build a new bridge, and it's earthquake compatible." Luckily enough, I went over to the Golden Gate Bridge, and it was very interesting to go on by bus. It's over 50 years old. I don't know why we're hearing these tap. I don't know about you, our listeners, but we're hearing some tapping.
Yeah,
can't figure out what's going on upstairs. If it's upstairs or somewhere nearby, I don't know.
It just got more intense for a second there. That's why we both were like, "What the heck is going on?" That's why we interrupted.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so Golden Gate Bridge. So there was after I got on the trip, I looked about the little history of the Golden Gate Bridge, and after the earthquake, they made it more stronger to support the spans of the suspension bridge.
Yeah.
So that's what they've done with the... And, of course, it's over 50 years old. It's pretty much almost the same year as the Lionsgate Bridge. Mm-hmm. Actually, 1 year difference because Golden Gate Bridge opened 1937.
Wow, I didn't realize it was quite that. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then the Lionsgate Bridge opened in 1938.
Wow.
So there's a year difference between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And when they grow older, like those two bridges, they need big maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily enough for our with our Lionsgate Bridge, we had to replace the deck completely because the ground part was, well, the ground part was made out of cage steel or something like that, and they had to replace that. So, I mean, I've got all the photos I got on Facebook, so if you're a friend of me on Facebook, you can check out my Facebook page with all the photos of what I had to eat and everything. So,
sounds like fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, maybe if we have time, I know we're going to take a break in just a moment here. Anything on your part while I was away?
Oh, no real new developments. And we still have the upcoming walk from Langley to Banff.
Mm-hmm.
That's still coming up. And I will email, of course, just so you guys are knowing so that we have the continued updates of what's going on. I'm going to email Kelly clips from each day that he can play.
Okay.
So that we actually have updates. I'm gonna record some clips and things like that.
Okay.
And
I know you're leaving when?
May 24th.
May 24th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anybody who wants to go out to the Fibromyalgia Wellspring thrift shop, it's out in Langley, of course, on the Fraser Highway. So go out there and give lots of support. Mm-hmm. That would be really cool. And of course I'll be sending along with the videos, I'll be sending some photographs back and everything else so we can actually get those up on our Facebook page and everything as we're going along. So it should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of work.
Right.
Because I'll be shooting video the whole time. I'm not only walking, but I'm walking with a camera. So.
Of course. That's going to be hard to do. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Just to let you know that if we are programming through the NCRA Program Exchange, we're going to be cutting the commercials or the ads very short because normally we do it on our flagship station, CITR, with their important information, but we're, you know, when we do our station break and stuff, when we put it on the air through Program Exchange, those announcements and stuff are going to be pretty short. So keep that in mind, and we will be back in just a moment here on the NCRA Radio Network. You are listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network's Kelly Rayburn here, along with Michael Rubin. Today, well, we were talking about my trip and what we were doing the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know that we do have a Twitter account, @CLivingRadio. Right now we've got about 284 followers. And we got some messages and stuff that we do. And, of course, we have our local CITR broadcast. They do have a thing on what they have is the Accessibility Collective.
So let's put this out there for everyone, too.
Is this about the collective?
It's about the collective, and anyone that knows somebody that we should be interviewing,
mm-hmm.
It's like, follow us on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and then share with us about this person. We check it all the time,
right?
And so we can contact them and get them on the show.
Like, absolutely,
you know,
anything that's people like yourself. If you have anything that is mentally challenged or disability, for that matter, if you want to say something on the radio. We are volunteered radio, and that's what we do.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I don't know if I'm just looking through our webpage, and of course, our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com, where we got everything from YouTube and anything that can be accessible or any ability and stuff. I mean, in the past we've done lots of stuff on medical and marijuana and mm-hmm. other anything for disabilities like spinal cord injuries and stuff like that over on the radio. And of course we've got the access day that's coming up on, I believe it's on the 19th. I'm pretty sure it's on the 19th, but I'm it's hard for me to figure out if that is the week or not. But we've got 5 hours of, no, 6 hours, sorry. 6 hours of community events that are happening on access day. I've got about an hour from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and it could be on anything. It can be anything on bus pass situation. We're going to be discussing more about that on Access Television and more on the events that are happening. So that's one of them. And then and then 1 o'clock till two, I think Jules, who does the show Crimes and Treasons, Tuesdays from 9 to 11 p.m. He's going to do some other issues on disability and special needs there. And then DB's going to do some interviews there. And then another, and of course, DB also is disabled too. And then we've got about 5 or 6 volunteers that are working on the radio. One of them's going to do the music, and he's going to do some collective stuff on some music. So it's going to be a good show. So don't want to miss that. And I just want to ask you about how your Canadian film screens. You've been doing a lot of Canadian film screens.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
What
you've been up to.
Well, basically, a lot of what I do is helping people fundraise to get their film made. Mm-hmm. And on the occasion, we do actually get the chance to actually shoot the film ourselves. So
right,
it's. I mean, to work with some of these people, it's just amazing the process. The creativity that people have, the ideas of that that they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it because this is such a great area for film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like British Columbia is absolutely fantastic. It's beautiful. You have rolling hills here, as well as you have mountains. You have seascapes and everything else for you to put into your film.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is that you think that your film would need, you can probably find it here in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the films that we're going to be shooting in the next year and a half actually takes place between Vancouver and Toronto.
Okay.
So we're going to recreate Toronto here in Vancouver. It's like, okay. You can actually do that.
You can, yeah, you can.
It's like, and you'd be surprised at the number of things. What was one of the things that somebody did recently? Of course, it's sunny, it's dry out, right, and everything. Like, they needed a rain scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they have this tool that instantly creates rain.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
it just blasts the water straight up in the air, and then
absolutely,
when it comes back down on the set,
yeah,
it's like, it's amazing some of the things are how they're shot.
Is this just shot between Vancouver and Toronto? It's like anywhere. I know it's the start is from Vancouver and the end is Toronto. Is there anything like in between?
No, it's the basic story is, it's two people. They're hit by a car simultaneously. One in Vancouver, one in Toronto.
Okay,
and they have a psychic bond between the two of them.
Okay,
it's almost kind of like what the heck was it? Loveless in Seattle or something like that sort of thing.
Oh, you mean Sleepless in Seattle?
Sleepless in Seattle. Okay. That's the one. It's kind of something like that, where it's kind of a romantic thing too, and all that kind of stuff. But these two, they actually find this psychic bond because they're both hit at the same exact moment in two different cities, one in Vancouver, the other one in Toronto, and then it's their journey to actually finding each other in life.
Okay.
You know, you had the psychic bond. Now they got to find each other in life.
So it's kind of a link.
Yeah, it's kind of a link. The name of the movie, it's actually a book by Karen McGill.
Okay.
Who's a friend of the show also.
Okay.
And she wrote the book, and it's called The Bond.
Okay.
So we're going to be recreating that. We're also looking into because we have friends of the show that are also with Access TV,
mm-hmm,
and I was talking to some of the folks at Access TV about this, that Vimeo has a new video on demand product.
Okay.
That if you have a film, independent film, you can actually make money directly off of that film by posting it on Vimeo.
Okay.
And the really cool part about that is, I like some like Amazon and things like that. Or Netflix. Netflix is like, it's a hell of a process to get on.
Right.
And I've actually written a couple of marketing plans to help people I've gotten one film onto Netflix.
Okay.
And it was an independent film. But them and Amazon, it's like they send you a small royalty check.
Mm.
When I say small royalty checks, is like you might once a month get a check for $65.
Right.
Because somebody watched your film.
True.
it's like royalty checks aren't what some people think. That it's like, oh yeah, he collects royalties on that. And it's like, well, yeah, you collect royalties. $65 a month. Go ahead. Try to pay your rent off that.
Okay.
If you have only one film, that's not a lot.
Okay.
Or if you have only one song, that's not a lot. You need ongoing projects to keep that happening.
And to keep it going.
And to keep it going, right?
Mm.
To make those checks bigger and bigger.
Mm.
In the case, like, say, Paul McCartney, who's still alive.
Yes.
Has a lot of songs out there, right, with the Beatles and also himself, right?
Yeah.
I invite everybody to go and Google these three people to find, because they actually made fortunes off of their music through royalties, is Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson.
Sir Paul McCartney.
Yes, Sir Paul McCartney, sorry.
Don't forget the sir.
Yeah, don't forget the sir. Michael Jackson and Prince.
Yeah.
Now go look and see how many songs they actually have, and it takes a lot of songs. It takes thousands of songs to actually build a fortune in royalties.
Yeah, and I, Well, I was on the ship. They, of course, the tragedy. You probably heard all the news about Prince, how he passed away and stuff. What was your reaction to the news?
Prince was kind of one of my teenage heroes. It's like I've lost two of my teenage heroes this past year, David Bowie and Prince.
Right.
They actually inspired me to get into the entertainment industry because of their talent.
Right.
And so it's a big loss. Think of all the music that they've created.
Some people would say differently because both Prince was an icon, and same goes with Michael Jackson was pretty much an icon too. They kind of both did pop music, and they both did almost pretty much similar to what they do. Most modern musics, nowadays.
And David Bowie's, when you talk about royalties for him, it's like the only projects wasn't just Ziggy Stardust.
No,
and
it
all
wasn't
that.
All the music, but he was into fashion. Wasn't he?
Fashion. Yeah. He got into fashion. He was. He had films out there, a series of children's films, as well as the movie Labyrinth.
Right.
While it was actually produced by Disney, he actually collected royalties because he wrote a lot of the soundtrack and part of the script for Labyrinth.
Right.
And, you know, he did so many things. It's like, and that's the thing about these guys as artists that I work with. It's like, they do so many different things to actually keep themselves going. One person in particular, he made a statement one time. He said, I'd probably spent over $1 million just keeping myself from not being an employee. And he lives well.
He lives well.
You know, he has a house by the beach in White Rock, and he lives really well, you know? So.
Does he live close by to you?
Yes, he does actually live close by me. No, I do not have a house by the beach. I cannot see the ocean from out my front window.
Okay.
To be totally honest with you, I live by the beach in a mobile home park.
Okay.
So he's got the house with the big bay windows
and the
terrace and everything. No, I don't have that.
I thought you two would be neighbors.
Yeah, no, we're not neighbors.
Okay.
I can walk to his house, but no, we're not. We're not next door neighbors.
It's like, okay. Yeah.
But he does a lot of things. He's in film. He does ceramics. He's a painter. He gets a lot of small bits in different movies and things like that.
Right.
One of his biggest projects that he worked on recently was actually the X-Files. So he did the relaunch of got a hand in doing the relaunch of the X-Files.
Right.
It made him some money, you know? Mm. And we'll be doing, we will not be shooting his film, but we're helping him fundraise for his film, An Open Door.
Right.
It's a prison film, the basic story is this. It's a docile father and husband. He leaves a big university as an art professor to take a job teaching in a prison.
Okay.
Most of it was because his wife wanted to be closer to her parents and everything else like that.
Okay.
She winds up cheating on him and leaves him.
Right.
And at the same time when there's a prison riot happening where he's actually working. Mm. So, you know, an art teacher is handed a gun and told, you have to guard an area. Okay. So it's based loosely on a true story. Mm. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, again, we're going to take a break and maybe talk some more. I also have a thing on Let's Talk Autism that was on yesterday, but we're not going to play all of it. But if you want to look under it under YouTube, it's from Autism Live, youtube.com, autism, and search word Autism Live. We may play it, a little bit of it, but then again, we may not. So keeping track on the time. So we're going to come right back. You're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We will be back. Of course, you're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. Kelly Rayburn here, along with Michael Rubin. So, want to hear some stuff on autism?
Yeah.
All right, so we're just going to play a little bit of Let's Talk Autism that was aired yesterday. So we'll come right back.
Welcome.
We were mid conversation.
Yes, we were. Sorry about that. I'm complete. All day today, I have been off my game. But okay. You're here, and you'll help me to get back.
Welcome to Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. I'm Nancy Allspot Jackson,
and I'm Shannon Penrod.
Okay. Well, are you on your game now?
No, but I'll get that way. I'll get that way. I'll get my game.
All right. Let's get started.
Apparently, I've been saying our guest's name wrong all morning long.
That's Stephanie Mines.
Stephanie Mines. I've been saying Miner.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm excited to talk to Stephanie, Dr. Mines, because she really works in the area of trauma, and there are a lot of people dealing with trauma that are in the autism community. My family is one of them right now.
I think she's going to say this too, that pretty much everybody is, that there's some sort of trauma that everybody's been through. And she talks about shock and trauma, and I'm really interested to hear what she has to say about that.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions for her today, and I'm sure you do as well, Shannon.
Absolutely.
Let's get right to in the news. We have a great story, which I have not seen the episode of Speechless with Carly Fleischman featuring Channing, is it Channing Tatum?
Yes.
I always say Channing Tatum. I don't know. I say his name wrong. Channing Tatum, the adorable Channing Tatum.
Oh, my gosh.
From Magic Mike.
Yes.
And she did an interview with him, Carly Fleischman, who, for those of you that don't know, wrote Carly's voice. She is nonverbal, and she gained notoriety because she uses assisted communication. We have had Arthur, her father, on the show in the past. But tell us, Shannon, about...
And the amazing, I love to tell Carly's story just a little bit about it because for any family that's out there that they go, oh, well, you know, my child is 10 and they're not speaking and I haven't been able to contact them. I love to tell the Carly story because it fills everybody with hope that she absolutely no form of communication. And they basically had let go of the expectation that there was ever going to be communication. And she wasn't able to sign. She wasn't able to use assistive technology. She didn't respond when they spoke to her. She was in her own little world. But when she was 13, I believe, she took a computer. And keep in mind, she was in school all this time, but they didn't have any idea whether she knew the alphabet. Mm-hmm. And she took the computer from the caretaker and typed out, teeth hurt, please help me. Mm-hmm. And it changed everything in their family. They realized, you know, okay, she can read, she can write, she can communicate, she can hear us.
Right.
And Carly has written extensively about what it was like for her when it all sounded like gobbledygook to her, and then how it all kind of cohesed at a certain age, and she began to understand what people were saying. And I think it's really important for our families with nonverbal kids to read her story, to hear her viewpoint.
It really will give a lot of nonverbal families hope. We tend to give up when we think we've reached a certain milestone. And it's interesting. I did a post on Facebook today about hope, about our little Crescent, who the boy from Uganda who was, you know, being beaten to death in Uganda and all of that. And we act today, you know, made his life here in America possible. And hope is so important to hang on to. And this is a story. Carly is a story about hope for our nonverbal population.
And so Carly is a young adult woman. I think she's 17 or 18 now at this point. And she's wanted to have her own talk show for a while. She's been on talk shows as a guest. And, of course, she comes with her assistive technology. But she finally has her own talk show. It's called Speechless with Carly Fleischman. What a great name.
I know.
And her first guest, I mean, hit it out of the park, Carly, seriously, Channing Tatum, and it is the best thing ever, 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 ever. And I don't want to undersell it. Mm-hmm. It's better than butter pecan ice cream. If you haven't seen it, it's on the Mighty featured right now. You must go and
better
see it.
Better than Rocky Road ice cream?
It's better than anything. It is the best thing I think I have ever seen.
Wow. Okay.
She's there with her assistive technology, and she has some questions that are ready for him. But clearly, this is her calling. She needs to host a talk show because she asked some of the best questions I've ever heard in an interview. She reduced Channing Tatum to a blushing little boy. Mm-hmm. He had the giggles. I don't want to spoil it for you. I want you to go and watch it. But there's lots of back and forth. Some of it, you know, obviously she had some questions ready beforehand to go, but then he responds and then she has follow-up and she stops and she types it and he hangs with her.
So people should go to Speechless with Carly Fleischman. Google that.
And you can go to The Mighty. It's right there on The Mighty right now. So if you go to themighty.com, we love The Mighty. Check out some of the other videos that are there as well. But and then I will say this too. There's a moment when Channing Tatum decides to ask her a question and it had me on the floor. Because he said to her, because I think she's at an age where she's beginning to think about being able to go out and have an adult beverage. So he said to her, okay, if you had your choice of somebody you could go have a drink with, would you pick Dr. Temple Grandin or President Obama? And I'm not going to tell you what she responded, but you'll have to watch the video to see. But I thought, what an amazing question. The two of them together were so cute, it will make your face hurt. Okay?
Okay, good. All right. There is apparently a video out there on WABC which shows a 7-year-old girl with autism falling from a Bronx apartment building. She climbed out the window, the fourth floor fire escape, and she falls and survives it. It shows the girl getting up and stumbling. Neighbors are saying she is a miracle.
Yeah.
A miracle.
We had seen the video on the morning news yesterday, but we didn't know that it was a girl who was on the autism spectrum.
Right.
And so when I found out that, and the fact that, and one of the reasons why I particularly want to talk about this on the show was that they believe that the reason why she fell out the window is because she was following her cat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about elopement all the time.
Yeah.
It is spring in most of the world now, and here in the Northern Hemisphere. And if you're in an apartment building or if you're in a two-story house, this week is a good week to check your screens and check your windows and check the height of your windows to see. She's incredibly lucky that she's okay, that she did get up and walk around. It's oddly, I don't know, do you ever listen to Radiolab on NPR?
No.
This weekend on Radiolab on NPR, they did a whole piece on falling and about the terminal velocity of cats and the studies that they have done about that cats who fall from windows all the time.
Yeah.
And if they're in fourth floor or lower, they do okay. Mm-hmm. And if they're above the eighth floor, if they fall from a 44th story, they can be okay. But there's a period in between where they are not okay.
The
and there's science, the determinant of
velocity. Why are you studying that in science right now, velocity?
It's fascinating.
Okay.
It was on Radiolab this week. But in any case, they talked to me, and I thought, how many times do cats fall out of windows?
Probably all the time, I would imagine.
Hundreds of cats every summer fall out of windows because they lose their balance.
Yeah.
But kids do too.
Of course.
And I think it's super duper important that everybody check your window situation so that you're not faced with this.
Yes. And going to hotels, make sure your doors are locked. We always lived in fear every time we went to a hotel where there was a balcony. Made sure that Wyatt couldn't open it.
A good point, because those sliding glass doors, a lot of times the maid staff won't lock it.
Right. They probably don't even include the statistics of autistic children on the spectrum who have fallen in the elopement statistics, but I bet if they did, you know, and it is a form of elopement, really.
Absolutely.
So.
And neurotypical kids fall out of windows all the time, too. So check. This is the right time of year to check that. to do. We did a fire drill the other day. This is a good time of year to check all your smoke alarms to make sure that your batteries are fresh. Mm-hmm. Just get it out of the way.
Check your swimming pools. Make sure you've got the protective gate around the swimming pools. All of these things, safety.
And one more thing, since we're on that, please remind your kids. I now drive a hybrid, and you drive a hybrid, uh-huh. and I have seen even here in the parking lot that your hybrid car doesn't make noise, and so people will walk out. Well, there's that too, but people will walk out, and I've had to warn Jem twice now about he doesn't hear the car. Mm-hmm. We have to remind people that you have to look. Don't use your ear sense; use your eye sense, because the hybrids are very quiet. But
good point.
But also, there was a woman who last week, as you said, remember to turn your hybrids off.
Yes,
There was a woman last week who was her and her child were almost asphyxiated because she parked her car in the garage. And I talked to my husband about it, and two nights later, he came to me in the morning, and he was like, something's going on with your car. I left it running all night long in the driveway because I thought I'd turned it off.
Yeah.
I did not.
Things to check. We're always in such a rush. I'm very guilty of that. Okay, Shannon, this study is really interesting out of Science Daily. Children with autism learn new words much like others do, study finds. And I was actually hoping you could illuminate some of this about this gaze, following someone's gaze.
Yeah.
A new study has found that children with autism are capable of learning new words in the same way any child would by following someone's gaze as they name an object. They just take longer to pick up the skill. But I wanted to ask you, because I wasn't sure whether it meant when it's following someone's gaze, like, are we saying pick up the sign? Are we literally moving our head and looking at it, or are we just shifting our eyes?
It could be either or both. There's something that we talk about all the time that's joint attention.
Right.
So, and I see this, I watch this at Disneyland all the time, that I will be on the tram, and I start to really notice it, because there'll be a mom with their young, 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old with them on the tram, and the mom will go, oh, look, it's Mickey Mouse. And then the mom turns and looks at the child. Now the child looks at the mom. Mm-hmm. In the neurotypical world, the child looks at the mom, and now the child looks to where the mom was looking, and they create this triangle of attention. Mm-hmm. And that is the beginning of almost every skill that we build on later on.
Okay.
That's the beginning of conversation, even though, the child isn't saying anything. That's the beginning of social interaction. That's the beginning of caring about what other people think about. Because not only is the child learning, mom's excitement and the word, but they're also picking up on what their emotional thing is. Mm-hmm. So if the mom goes, oh, look, it's a dog with fangs. Yay!
Yeah.
The child learns not to be afraid of a dog with fangs.
Right.
But if the mom goes, oh, it's a snake, the child learns to be afraid of a snake. Okay. So they're learning through observation. So what this study is really saying is that, for years people have argued about, will kids with autism learn in this same way because they don't have the joint attention? And ABA teaches the joint attention and teaches this way. Other things seek to do it in a different way. But what this study shows is if we just give them more opportunity, they will get it in the same way. It goes back to what we've always said. So you could do it.
So let's break it down to how our viewers could maybe practice this with their kids.
Well, it means that just like you would with a neurotypical developing child, you want to be constantly verbalizing what you're seeing and noticing so that, and I think that we tend to, when our child doesn't respond, we don't do it as much. We need to have the opposite reaction. So I remember when Jem was little, and I would say, look at the lion, and he wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So I would do it less often, I really believe. Mm-hmm. And we need to instead do the exact opposite. So be pointing out things to your child. Mm-hmm. Look at something and say what it is, and then look at your child and show whatever the emotion is, and then go back to looking at it. You can look at something and then point to it and go, look, it's this.
Do we need to get their acknowledgement that they've seen it? Because I notice a lot of times with Wyatt, I'll say, do this or look at this, and he won't do it the first time, and then I'll say, no, Wyatt, look at it.
Yes, and this study shows that that is really effective at getting, you know, getting to it quicker. That we'll see a lot of times the therapists will say, look at me, or sometimes therapists in the very beginning will point to their mouth when they're talking so that the child's eye is drawn there. Mm-hmm. I would say, too, we haven't heard from the Gemini people, but I'm sure that the Gemini people are going to be all over this as well. That's a learning program that focuses on the mouth and shows them a close-up of the mouth when somebody is say something. I think this is just further evidence that that's a good idea, too.
Okay.
Because it forces the child to look at the mouth. And that might be why we're seeing that the studies that are coming in on Gemini show that it's really helping a lot of kids that are having a hard time learning to speak.
Right.
So, but we can all be doing this. We can point to our mouths. Uh-huh. We can say, look at me.
Right.
We want to be careful that sometimes in the beginning, we and therapists will actually like take the child's head and gently move it to look at us. You want to be careful about overusing that.
Yeah.
Like only do that in the very beginning. And
sometimes I will say, I don't want to look at your eyes.
Right. Well, and they don't have to look at the eye.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there right now. So if you want to know more about the Autism Life, go to the YouTube, www.youtube.com, and click search Autism Life. They've got one today on The Future is Bright. So check them out as well. But we're going to have to leave it there. Any last words you need to know, Michael, about next week?
Well, next week we're going to have Laurie Guzman come back.
Mm.
She's going to just join us for a conversation, and we're going to needle her about stuff that she does in the community. She does a lot of different stuff. Remember her for the Just Smile campaign. And she also does work with battered ladies and things like that. In the Vancouver area. So, so we're going to have her come on, and we're going to interview her, and we're going to needle her pretty hard about stuff that she does in the community.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for our show.
Yeah.
So we'll be back again next week. Same time, same station. And, of course, tomorrow on our half-hour show, Flagship Station Co-op Radio. Till then, toodaloo. See y'all later.
I know.
You know what kind to be totally honest, I wanted to not be bored. Being totally autonomous sounds like an alien overboard. Every day, all day, there's nothing new. The approach every day is something new, something new. I thought summer was the loneliest season. Every day, all day, it was dry, so dry. It was hot, so hot. Maybe every day of summer isn't going to be the most fun. But you should still give it all you've got. Approach every day, something new.
Something new.
Read books if there's nothing to do.
And poetry too.
Summertime's time where you can choose your plan.
Start a band, adopt a lamb.
Wham, bam, that's my jam.
Wham, bam, that's my jam.
The first step is actually a question. Whether or not you have a candy thermometer. If, like me, you don't, place the plate into the freezer.
Step number two.
Or as much as.
What do you do?
It loves jazz.
I guess we'll figure out, oh my god, what this is all about.
Molten hot.
Summer was kind of a bummer, but let's not be a downer. Instead, let's look ahead instead.
I'm giving such a frowner.
The season begins anew when you let it within you.
Summertime starts and ends whenever you want it to.
I thought summer was the loneliest season. Every day, all day,
it was dry, so dry.
It was hot,
so hot.
Maybe every day of summer isn't going to be the most.
You should still give it all you've got.
All you've got.
Approach every day as something new.
Something new.
Read books if there's nothing to do.
And poetry too.
Summertime's time where you can choose your plan.
Make a ham, roll in the sand.
Wham, bam, that's my jam.
Wham, bam, that's my jam.
Summer, summer, what a bummer. Summer, summer, what a bummer.
Hot, hot, molten hot, molten hot, 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 hot.
Hot, hot, molten hot, molten hot, 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 hot.
Summer was the loneliest season. Every day, all day. It was dry,
so dry.
It was hot,
so hot.
Maybe every day of summer isn't going to be the most fun. But you should still give it all you've got.
All you've got.
Approach every day with something new.
Something new.
Read books if there's nothing you do.
And poetry too.
Summertime's time where you can choose your plan.
Do a handstand, make a pillow sham.
Wham, bam, that's my jam.